Okay, so I think we're going to start actually talking about Bishl. The last couple shiurim we talked about Maaseh Shabbos, and we discussed the question of Muktzah and all the other interesting issues that came up in the beginning of Shin Yud Ches. Now we're going to talk about actually the definition of Bishl, and we're going to start with the Gemara in Klal Gadol, not in Perkira, that teaches us about the definition of Bishl. And we'll talk about it first just because the Mefarshim, as you saw, the Mishnah Berurah brings it up in Sif Aleph and the Magen Avraham in Sif Gimel. So makes sense to do it now. So the Gemara on Daf Ayin Dalet on the base says like this: Haiman, deshada sichsa la'asuna chayv mishum mevashel. Pshita. So we're talking about putting some type of peg into the fire to dry it out. And the chiddush is the chayv mishum mevashel. First of all, we see here that there's bishul not just for food. And that's not surprising. After all, bishul in the Mishkan was samimanim. So the Gemara says that it's obvious you're chayiv. So the Gemara answers, "Mao de same lashuri mana kamachavim." No, you're not machavim for bishul. You're chavim to strengthen the kli. Kamash malan that it's mirpa rafi bahadur kamit. So what does that mean? So Rashi, I think, which is the pashas of the Gemara, says that you see here that the chiyuv is for the initial ripoy, meaning to say you're chayiv mishum. It softens it somehow. When you first put it in, it softens it. And then it gets hardened. And what sounds like it's saying is that you're not chayv for bishul when things get harder. You're only chayv for bishul when things get softer. So over here, since it gets softer first and then it gets harder, you are chayv. Now, this makes you wonder, so does that mean that there's no such thing as bishul when things are only getting harder? Many things we cook seem to get harder. When you bake, things do seem to get harder. If you cook an egg, the egg starts off as a liquid, it ends up as a solid. Maybe you should be potter. Now, obviously, that's not true, but the question is why? And it also makes you wonder, why would this be true in the first place? Why should it be a requirement that it gets soft? Maybe the answer is that in all these cases, there actually is softening first. In other words, according to Rashi, the definition of the malacha is richoch. And therefore, I saw that Rav Avigdor Nementhal, in his Ha'aros on the Mishnah Berurah, considers this possibility. He says, you know what? Must be that the same thing is true by Afia. Afia, yeah, it's true. It looks like it starts off soft as dough and ends up hard as bread. But likewise, must be that originally, when you first put it in, it gets softer first and then it gets harder. The same idea. In other words, according to Rashi, and again, certainly the most simple reading of this Gemara, bishul doesn't just mean preparing something for edibility through heat or some more general definition. It has to include softening. And yeah, anytime you're chayiv for bishul, it must be that it's softened. And that might indeed be what comes out for Rashi, unclear. Take a look at the Rambam, Perek Tes Halacha Vav. He seems to disagree. He says that there's a chiyuv for bishul, whether you harden something that's soft or soften something that's hard. As long as you do some type of transformative act through a source of heat, so then you're chayiv mishum bishul. And obviously, the advantage of that approach is it explains very easily why you're chayiv mishum ofe or cooking an egg or the like. Now, the problem, of course, with the Rambam's approach is how does he read the Gemara? Because if that's true that you're chayiv for the hardening, why do you even need to say mahu desema, it gets harder? No, kamash malan, it gets softer. So the Lecha Mishnah addresses this. And he says that the Gemara's kasha is, since we're talking about a yaseid, that there is no change. It just gets a little harder. In other words, it starts off as wood, it ends off as wood. It just gets a little harder as wood. So you would have thought that that's insufficient, that's not a sufficiently significant transformation to be mechayev you. And the answer is no. Actually, it's much more transformative than you realize, because it's first getting soft and then it's getting hard. And therefore, you are chayev. In other words, the Iker Chiddush of the Gemara is that to be chayev for Bishul, you need a transformative act. And getting a little harder wouldn't be significant, sort of like, I don't know, putting a piece of bread and toasting it, or, you know, okay, it's slightly improved. But the answer is, since it gets first soft and then hard, so this is a significant enough of a transformation that you are chayev. There's a third approach to this Gemara found in the Mordechai, Siman Taf Lamed Gimel, and he has a very fascinating idea. He says that the bishul here is when you heat the water in this peg. In other words, when you have a piece of wood, a fresh piece of wood, so it has moisture in it, obviously. And what happens when you put it in the oven to dry out? That moisture heats and then evaporates. And so the bishul is in the heating, the cooking of the water in the peg. And therefore, comes out an interesting lemaisa nafkamina. Let's say you have a wet garment. Go out in the rain, it's wet. So you go ahead and you come inside and you dry it by the fire. You hang your coat up next to the fire. And now the heat of the fire warms the water absorbed in your coat and cooks it. So you're chayv. You're chayv mishum malabim. But that's not our Indian now. But you're also chayv mishum bishul. Kumas chamim hamayim shebesol chabeged. And that's exactly what the Gemara is saying over here. That when you harden the peg, so how do you harden the peg? By removing the water from the peg. And how do you remove the water? By steaming it out through the fire. And that's the softening that the Gemara is referring to. Likewise, when you dry your shirt, you steam it over the fire. They're equally the same type of bishul. Now, it's an interesting question, because you could have said, well, I'm not miskavim for bishul hamayim, but okay with that, we could say it's a psikresha denichalai. You might say it's enetzrichal gufa, but not necessarily, because you could argue that you want the tikkun of this yaseid, and the tikkun of the yaseid is through the bishul hamayim. Anyhow, you see, though, I think perhaps something a little interesting here, which is we've discussed in previous malachos, what's the din if something is holich le'ibud? So are you chayev or not? So in this case, what are you cooking? The water, the absorbed water inside this peg or inside the garment, and you're chayev. In other words, even though you don't actually use the water, adarabba, you're causing the water to disappear. It's certainly holich le'ibud. Nevertheless, you're chayev mishum bishul. So what we see then is an interesting idea, which is that bishul that's holich le'ibud is chayev according to Mordechai. And the Chassam Sofer actually makes this point, Siman Tzadi Beis, that if you're mevashel le'ibud, he thinks that you're not aser minat Torah, but l'chor according to Mordechai, you are. Maybe the Chassam Sofer says, we don't follow this Mordechai, though, as we'll see in a moment, we do. So it's an interesting shaila. I guess it could, you know, what about using a humidifier on Shabbos? You could have that shaila as an iser d'oraisa or not, a hot water humidifier, not a cool mist humidifier. That's probably only the Rabbanan. Anyhow, so how do we paskin? So the Magen Avraham in Sif Gimel brings down this sugya. Also, like I said, the Mishneh Berurah and Sif Aleph in his Hakdama at the beginning. And they both bring down the Lashon of the Rambam. So it sounds like the Magen Avraham is paskining that you're chayev both for hardening and softening. What's interesting, though, is if you look at the Shaar Tzion, Sif Katan Dalet, he writes that you're chayev when you're hardened something because it softens first. In other words, what he basically seems to be trying to do is say there's not really enough nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam. Really, unlike let's say, the approach of the Lecha Mishnah, though I'm not entirely sure he doesn't spell out what he's doing. He's saying that really everybody agrees you're only chayiv on the softening. So what does the Rambam mean that you're chayiv for hardening? Because anytime you harden, you soften first. After all, that's what the Gemara says. So we basically paskin like Rambam, though perhaps the Mishnah Berurah thinks it's not fundamentally different than Rashi, interestingly enough. Now, what about the Mordechai? So we also seem to be choshesh for the Mordechai. That's in Simon Shin Aleph Sif Mem Vav. So the Shulchan Aruch over there writes that you're not allowed to put wet clothing, let's say in our case, next to on top of a radiator or something like that, if the water in the clothing could reach Yatzal Adespo. So we seem to actually, in a sense, maybe be choshesh for all three shitos. Now, what's an interesting application of that idea in the Mordechai in terms of Bishul? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, this is cited in the Orcho Shabbos Aleph Yud Aleph, that maybe you shouldn't be able to put frozen challah on a plata if there is ice on the challah. What I mean to say, let's assume you can heat up things on a plata, however way you're going to do it. But let's assume that you could even put it straight on the plata. The problem is I take my challah out of my freezer, and oftentimes there's there's frost, a collection of frost on the edge of the challah. So this would be usher. Why? This is basically, according to the Mordechai, Bishul D'Oraisa, because what's going to happen to the frost? It's going to heat. It might actually evaporate. It might disappear, but before it disappears, it's going to heat. It's going to reach Yatzal Adispo. It's Mamish Nisr de Reis, according to the Mordechai. And as we said, we pass in like the Mordechai.
Wait, but now, it starts as solid, so you have a Magen Avraham later, no?
Oh, very good. The answer is no, because that's only in a Shiloh Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Meaning to say, the idea there is when something is fully cooked. So if it's fully cooked and it starts off as a solid, we say in bishul achar bishul, and even though it ends up as a liquid, we could be makel, right? But is this frost cooked? So here we have to know a little bit about science. So where is the frost coming from? Is the frost like, has this frost been cooked? The answer is no, because you'll have to speak to the scientists and find out if this is correct exactly. But my understanding is that the frost comes from moisture that's in the air in a freezer. The way a freezer works basically is it cools by removing the moisture from the air. So this frost, this ice, has not been cooked. And therefore, that's not relevant. And likewise, along similar lines, we're going to see that there's makom lahakel, let's say, when it comes to heating up common shiloh. Let's say you want to heat up chicken on Shabbos morning. There's a little bit of liquid, a little bit of gravy on the liquid, on the chicken. Not a lot. We don't have like the Rabbeinu Yochum, but a little bit. So there's makom lahakel to heat it up, right? So why don't you say the same thing? Okay, there's a little bit of frost, so we should be able to heat up the challah. No, not true. Because the reason why perhaps you can be makel with a little bit of liquid gravy is because that liquid gravy has been cooked already. So we're going to be makel because it's only a shail of bishul achar bishul b'davar lach, and that's not going to be chashev. We'll talk about the lamdas why we could be makel. Not relevant over here. This frost has never been cooked, right? That's why you find it, especially in the old-fashioned freezers, when you have don't have frost-free freezers, right? The freezer is full of frost, right? Where'd that frost come from? It came from the air. Right? Has that frost ever been cooked before? No, it hasn't. So therefore, again, in light of the Mordechai, then this might be a chiyuv. Certainly, you could say here tzein tzricha legufa, so I'd only be asked to rabbanan yesh ladun. Would it be the same? Would it be different? Maybe it is even tzricha legufa because it's tikkun of the challah, right? You don't want water on the side of your challah. You taka want it to cook off and disappear and thereby make your challah nice and crusty, just like you want the water inside your shirt to disappear and so your shirt will be nice and dry. And so if one's nisr d'oraisa, maybe the other one is as well. So an interesting thing to think about.
Ready?
Yes.
A little bit of a Metzias question, but I think in the contemporary fridges, they have anti-frost like coils that basically heat up the frost.
Yeah, that's why the fridges are frost-free, because they burn off that water. But you don't have to
burn off the frost. You have a little bit of frost there.
What?
No,
but that doesn't mean the frost that formed on your challah was not chopped by those coils. That's the whole point. In other words, it's not perfect. They don't have frost forming on the walls. Okay, you can ask an engineer and find out if my assessment of the Metzias is right or wrong. I'm not sure. Maybe Yoni knows, but you'll be our contemporary scientist, our scientist of this year. So if I'm wrong, let me know. But that's my understanding. Okay, this wouldn't just be true for challah. It could be true for anything we took out of the freezer. But one case where I think it might be likely is the challah. Okay. Now, the Rishonim point out here that there is basically a stira between the Gemara in Shabbos that we just read and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Lama Chesmet Aleph, seems to be addressing the same point, but implies a very different conclusion. The Gemara there says, Gufa, Amar, Rav Yochanan, Hai, Ovi Gochavim, Decharich Reisha, Shari Lamei Chaminei, Mai, Afilim Reish, Odnei. Okay, this is an interesting idea that Bishul Akam is only Aser when the guy's machavin levashel. Fine. Amar Avina Hilkach. Hi Ovei Kuchavim B'shadasich Salasuna. So since we have this principle of Bishul Akam that it doesn't become Aser if you're not machavin levashel. So let's say a guy goes ahead and he warms up his oven and he puts this peg into the oven to dry off. The cover by Yisrael Kara Meikara and the Yid beforehand had buried in the oven a piece of food, a kara, a gourd. So now, effectively, the guy's cooked the gourd, but he wasn't mechaving to cook the gourd. He wasn't mechaving l'bishul. He was mechaving for drying out his peg. He was mechaving for woodwork. He just, without knowing it, also was mevashel the Jew's food. So the question is, does the food become us or l'bishul akam? And the Gemara says, shavri dami, it's great, because he wasn't mechaving l'bishul, pshita. No, actually, in this case, he was machavin for bishul. Why? Because heating up a peg is bishul, like we said in Masech Shabbos. When you dry out your peg, that's form of bishul. So actually, this guy was machavin lebishul, and therefore, the Jew's food should be aser. No, he wasn't machavin for bishul. He was machavin to dry out his peg. Gemalde. So this Gemara seems to conclude what's the Havamina, the Gemara in Shabbos. So all the Rishonim ask this question. And there are a number of answers in Rishonim. I'll just mention some of them quickly because they are interesting. And then we'll get back to a regular Bishul Shabbos. So Tosfos, both in Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, asks this question. The formulation, though, of Tosfos and Avodah Zarah is fascinating because he writes like this. Tosfos writes, Mikol makom hu mevashel ktsas. So even though I'll read it earlier. Afal gav d'lashurei mana kamachavein mikol makom hu mevashel ktsas. Even though he's mechavein for hardening it, lamaisa it does cook a little bit. V'gam lo'oso bishul garua hu miskavein. This type of shvacha bishul, namely the bishul that we're talking about over here, of it getting softer first, is a shvacha bishul, tsas bishul, bishul garua, but lemaisa you're mechavein for it. The gabe Shabbos hechmiro lachshivu aflinian bishul avalinian bishul akum lo chashiv. So the basic answer seems to be simple that we're much more machmir for Shabbos in terms of the definition of bishul than we are for bishul akum. Bishul akum is in the drabbanim, so we're mekel. This type of shvacha bishul doesn't have a shame bishul. For Shabbos, it's a skila. So since you're also mechaven for this bishul, it's a chamor shaila, and therefore it is considered bishul. If that's all he said, that would be okay. But his lashon is fascinating, because his lashon is v'gabi Shabbos hechmiru lahachshivo. So the lashon of hechmiru sounds a little bit like it's dirabanan. In other words, sounds like he's saying midirabanan, they were machmir by Shabbos to consider this a bishul. But really, midiraisa, it's not a bishul. Midiraisa, this type of bishul, this type of softening, then hardening, is not bishul. Like the Gemara's Havamin and Shabbos. The Rabbanan, they were machshev in a bishul. But they were only machshev in a nisr chamor, not a nisr kal. Now, the problem with this explanation, of course, is that the Gemara in Shabbos says, you are chayav. Sounds like we are dealing with a nisr deraisa. So either you're going to say, when it says hechmiru lachshivo, doesn't mean that midrabanan. It means that is the way they looked at it. That's the way Chazal looked at it. Chazal were koiveya, that this is bishul deraisa. Or alternatively, if you're going to say no, hechmiru sounds like a lashon midrabanan, you'd have to say that this is one of the cases where when the Gemara uses the term chayev, it doesn't mean chayev. We have seen other examples of this. The Rambam consistently, whenever the Gemara says chayev, the Rambam assumes it's chayev. There were other cases, though, as we saw in Meleches Kotzer, by the pulling up the moss to use to clean yourself after going to the bathroom, where the Gemara says chayev, and many of the other Rishonim say, yeah, chayev doesn't mean chayev. Chayev means asmud rabbanan. So perhaps the Tosfos would say the same thing over here. Okay, that's Tosfos. The Ritva and Shabbos is also machalik between Bishul and Shabbos and Bishul Mavod Zara. But he first of all says that we're dealing with the Deraisa, Kepasha Sagamara. And what's very interesting is he seems to be saying that the Iker Kavana is L'shurei Mana, but you're also Mechavim for Bishul. And therefore we're Mekel for Bishul Akum. We'll look at your Iker Kavana as opposed to for Shabbos where we don't. Now, that's sort of interesting in general, because this comes up in many aspects of Hilchos Shabbos. What do we look at, Yerker Kavana or not? His Lashon is, Haiman Deshada Sechsel Asuna, Kamashman Demir Perafi, Hadar Kamit, Perush, Ulevshula, Ulevishula Nami Kamachave Mechayev. This is a little bit. He says, what about the Sugin of Avodah Zarah? And he says, no, Devadi Besechsezu, Shtei Melachos Yeshba, Bishu Leimana, Kad Rafi Marpe, Vishure Mana Kad Kamit. Linian Shabbos Roy Lachayev, Mishum de Mivashel, Sha'af Lavashel, Miskavain, Delo, Afshel Shure Albahi, Avalhasam Linian Bushule, Gayim de Rabbanan, Kevin de Iker Kavanasel, Shure Mana, who ain't Lahachmir Velasor. In other words, when it comes to Bishul Akum, because it's a de Rabbanan, we look at your general Kavana. But in Shabbos, we look at your more specific thing. In other words, this softening is a means to an end. Your goal is just to get it hard. Happens to be the only way to get there is softening first. And therefore, you're chayev. Maybe it's sort of like a psik resha. And we say psik resha, you're chayev. That raises a very interesting question. What's the din by psik resha for Bishul Akum? Maybe he's saying that it's mutter. Yesh l'ayin, maybe it's not a psik resha, maybe it's like a secondary kavana, and so it's a little bit different. The Ramban says, along similar lines, v'yesh l'omer, this is Ramban and Shabbos, ayin d'alham v'yesh, v'yesh l'omer, d'af al-gab d'iyu mechavein l'shurim mana, kevan d'evshar elim kain, rafi mekar agabi Shabbos chayev, d'motor shim psik resha v'lo yamas. So the Ramban says explicitly, that this is Halali and Psik Resha. That basically, for Bishul Akum, there's no Isser Psik Resha. For Shabbos, there is a Psik Resha. That's exactly what's happening over here. And that way he resolves the question. And maybe what the Ritva means, or could be the Ritva saying, like I said earlier, maybe something slightly different, which might also be very fundamental, which is that it's a question of a secondary Kavana. There's a primary Kavana, a secondary Kavana. Shabbos, we look at we consider both Kavanos, but even the secondary Kavana. Take a look at Rashi in Avodah Zarah, actually. Rashi seems to try to answer this question differently. Rashi writes, Mao Desema, that the guy was Lasule Lahai Sechse Chavein, V'hal Hashem Bishul Asiku, Kamash Malan, Dein Bishul Bekalem. Oh, so you get the impression that according to Rashi, the shot is that there's no Bishul Bekalem. That's the pshat. Now, if so, so then maybe it's a stira on the sugyos. That's what Rashi's saying, that in Mesach Shabbos, we conclude Yesh Bishul Bekalem, and in Mesach Shabbos, we conclude and Bishul Bekalem. Alternatively, he's saying no, that only in the context of Bishul Akum do we say and Bishul Bekalem. And, you know, you could give a very simple reason why that might be, because the issue of Bishul Akum is chasnos, or shema yarev bo davar tameh, or the like. So that, in that context, we're not concerned with bishul akum. In the context of Hilchos Shabbos, since it's technically a bishul, so you have to be choshesh. So Lashon Gemara is difficult, though, because it's not the same as Lashulei Mana Kamachave and Kamash Lana Shurei Mana Kamachave. And Rashi himself says, Lashurei Mana Echave, Lahak Shos Esa Yaseid, Vein Daito Levishul. Sort of sounds like if Daito Levashel, then even by Vodazar would be Aser. So maybe what it means is that there's no bishul akelim when you're not mechavin lebishul. Mashenken by Shabbos, we're chav mishum mevashel even if you're not mechavin lebishul. Why might that be? So it could just be because bishul akum is more kal, but it could also be because for Shabbos, there's a concept of toldos or melachas machshavos or the like, and that's what would expand it. The Rambam, interestingly enough, does not paskin this halacha in Hilchos Machalos Asuros. In other words, in the sugyas of bishul akum, he does not cite this. Could be that the Rambam left it out because he thought it was takastir and sugyas. The Rambam Shabbos and Avodah Zarah argue with each other. They have two different perspectives. And since we paskin like the sugyan Shabbos, we don't paskin like the sugyan Avodah Zarah. Okay. Let's turn now to Sif Gimel. And we're going to talk about the sugya of Toldos Chama, Toldos Aish, and the like. So we paskin that there's no bishul b'chama. The Gemara says that in the Mishnah, ein nosdin beitza b'tzad hamecham b'shvil chetes galgel, v'lo yafkiyana b'sudarin, Rabbi Yosi matir. So you may not put a egg next to a mecham, a urn of sorts, so that it becomes cooked. This galgal seems to maybe mean, according to some reason, a light cooking, but basically so it's cooked. I assume the pshat in shetes galgal is because the way you tell the difference between a raw egg and a cooked egg is by spinning it, because it doesn't wobble. So that's why it's called tisgalgal. I don't know. Anyway, so you can't wrap it up in heated sudarim, Rabbi Yosi matir. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? So there's Lamed Tesmid Aleph. Amar of Nachman, Bechama Dukuli Amalo Pligi Deshari. All Tanaim agree that there's mutter lechatchila to cook an egg in the sun. Metoldos Orkuli Amalo Pligi Deasir. And we'll see the Gemara says not only is it Asir, but you're Chayiv. So Toldos Or means that if I heat something by the fire and that thing causes something else to cook. So then that's an issue d'oraisa. Ki pligi betoldos hachama. Mar safer gazvina toldos hachama to toldos or. Mar safer lo gazvina. What's the machlokas in the Mishnah? Whether midrabanan toldos hachama is aser. Why would you say it's aser? Because it might resemble toldos or. L'mashal, if I heat up this frying pan. So I could put this frying pan in the sun and heat it that way. Or I could put the frying pan next to a fire and heat it that way. And then I cook an egg on a frying pan. So the onlooker doesn't know the difference, how the frying pan was heated. Looks the same. So there's a concern that if we permit toldos hachama, you would permit toldos or. Whereas there's no concern that if we permit toldos or, you would lead to either chama or, if we permit chama, there's no reason to be concerned that would lead you to permit either or toldos or. There's an obvious difference. So, therefore, bishul b'chama is mutter. Why? Who says? L'maisa, the food is equally prepared, right? L'maisa, what did I do? I took something raw and I made it edible, made it even delicious through heat. Okay, it happens to be that the heat comes from the sun. Asma, why should that be any different? Why should that be a reason of being potter? Says Rashi over there, Dibur Maschil Deshari, Dein derech bishul b'kach, v'chama b'or lo michlefa de ligzer atuha, ha'atuha. Says Rashi, it's lav derech bishul b'kach. Now, l'chora, that means it's not the normal way of cooking, not the normal way of doing malacha. Now, what's difficult here is that usually when something is shelo kedarka, we say it's aser midrabanan, at the very least. Here, we're saying it's mutter. Why don't we have to be concerned? Now, the Tzuchara Lav Darka B'kach is a similar type of idea to things that we've seen throughout. Hilchos Shabbos is a type of shinui of sorts. And normally, again, we say shinui is asmid rabbanan. So what's pshat that over here, we say it's mutter l'chatchila. We're going to consider three approaches to this Rashi, and we'll see that there are major nafkaminas between them. So the Igle Tal addresses this in Meleches Ofeus Mem Dalet, and he has a very fundamental yesod, which he applies to many, many melachos. And that is that when we talk about shinoi, there's really two types of shinoi. One is in the totzah, and one is in the maisa. When we're talking about a shinoi in totzah, so first of all, that's a concept that exists b'kol Torah kula. And second of all, generally speaking, we're going to say it's not even aser midrabanan. Masha'en Cain, when we're talking about a shinui in the maisa, so that is unique to Hilchos Shabbos. In other words, where the totzah is the same, but the maisa is different. So there you're pater in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. You're not pater b'chol Torah kula. And also, in those types of cases, we say it's aser midrabanan, even on Shabbos. So, for example, he says, why is it that writing with your left hand is aser midrabanan, so when you're righty, but cooking in the sun is hatar gamur? And his answer is, haksav b'smol hare etzem ha-pa'ula hu ha'os hanasa. In other words, in the end of the day, the letter will be the same. Okay, some people, when they write with their left hand, it's messy. But let's say you're a very skilled, you're not ambidextrous necessarily, but you do it slowly and carefully, and you're artistic, and you come up, you're able to, maybe it takes a lot longer, but at the end of the day, you're able to write the same letters, even though you're using your left hand. So in that case, you're still potter on Shabbos, but it's aser midrabanan. Masha'en Cain, when it comes to Bishol Bechama, actually the product is different. It's not just a shinoi in the Maisa, it's a shinoi in the Totzah. Shebishol Be'esh Yishvach Esh B'Tavshil, right? You've heard of the sugya of Shvach Eitzim B'Pas. You know, somehow or another, the when you use hickory sticks in your barbecue, so you taste the hickory taste in your meat. So likewise, there is some type of connection between the source of heat and the product. So when you use fire, there's shvach esh b'davar hanisbashel. And likewise, if you use sun, there's shvach hashemesh. It comes out different. And therefore, this isn't just a shinoi in the maisa, it's a shinoi in the totzah. And therefore, it's mutter. And not only that, but therefore he says that it's also going to be relevant in other areas of halacha. Where do we find that it's relevant in other areas of halacha? So this comes up in the sugya of Korban Pesach, where we say, it's a Gemara Daf Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Pesachim, that if you have a Korban Pesach that's mevushal b'chamei Tveria, that's not considered mevushal. You're not in a violation of Bishul. The law of being mevashel Karban Pesach. Why is that? So that's because it is a shinoi in the totzah, not just in a maisa. Now, we're going to get back to this perhaps more carefully when we get to Kosev. There are a lot of sugyos that you have to deal with. There's a discussion, for example, of gittin written with your left hand and the like. We're not going to, as I said, kedarko b'kodesh d'igle tal, in presenting this idea, takes you on a whirlwind tour throughout Shas and Shulchan Aruch and Rishonim. But for our purposes, this is what we need. So, you know, it's a little counterintuitive. If you would have asked me before reading the Igle Tal and said that there's a chiluk between a shinoi and a mais and a totzah, I would have said, well, writing with your left hand is a shinoi and a totzah, and cooking with the sun is a shinoi and a maisa. And actually, what he says is the exact opposite. Okay, that's what he says. He says that the totzah, he thinks that the Gemara by Pesachim is a raya, and writing b'smol, again, in theory, you're right. For most people, it will also be a shinui b'totzah, but theoretically, you could have a case where there is no shinui b'totzah and you're still going to be pater, at least in Hilchos Shabbos. Agav, I once asked a physicist if this was true. Is there a shinui b'totzah when you cook through the sun as opposed to the fire? And he started explaining to me this, that he thought that at least under certain circumstances, it could be. There are different ways of heat traveling. I don't even remember what he said, convection and this and that. And it could also be that way from the fire, but if the fire's closer. So at least he argued, I don't know if it's true, I'll have to ask the Yoni again, that you could come up with a scientific justification of the Igletal's theory. I'll call upon him. The Igletal, I think, is interpreting Rashi in its most literal and simple way. What's interesting is, this brings us to the second Mahalich, is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe also understands Rashi in the sense that we're talking about Shinui. When Rashi says La Derech Bishol, he means it's a Shinui. This is Rav Moshe, Chel Gimel, Tshuva Os Nun Beis. And Rav Moshe, though, applies it in a way that we'll see in a second that the Igletal would disagree with. Rav Moshe was asked, what's the halacha by cooking in a microwave on Shabbos? Leaving aside electricity issues, let's assume those are Drabanan, but is it a violation of Bishul? And Rav Moshe writes, yes, because it's normal. He says, aye, but nowadays it isn't normal. This tshuva was written well before microwaves became popular. He said, yeah, just give it a little time. Nowadays, it's a new technology. They're expensive. People don't all have them yet. But with time, everybody's going to have microwaves, and it's going to be a normal thing to cook with microwaves, and therefore it's an issur d'oraisa. In other words, he says, yes, what's the pshat in Rashi that the reason why your potel is because it's lav darko, it's a shinui, but once something becomes derech, it would be aser. Of course, according to Rav Moshe, it would seem that if cooking with the sun became normal, then you would also be chayv. We'll talk about that in a moment. We'll get to the shaila of the dud shemesh. So, on the one hand, he's reading Rashi like the Igletal. They're both saying that lav darko b'kach means a shinui, but he's coming to an opposite practical conclusion. According to the Igletal, for sure you'll be pater in a microwave. Why? Because that's a shinui netotzah. There we could see it. We all know that food cooked in a microwave tastes different than food cooked on a fire, right? If you go ahead and you cook an egg in the microwave, it's a totally different result than if you fry it. You're not sure, just try going to Dunkin' Donuts. So that's Pashut would be Potter, according to the Igletal. And likewise, according to the Igletal, even if it were to become common to cook in the sun, since it's a Shinui Netotzah, you'd probably also still be Potter. But so they're very different practical conclusions, but they're reading Rashi in the same way. What I mean to say in the same way is that they're reading Rashi as talking about a shinui. Now, Rav Moshe doesn't, unlike the Igletal addressed the question of why is it mutter, right? We asked, I understand why it should be pater according to Rashi, why is it mutter? So Igletal gave his answer that we don't necessarily have Yisurim de Rabbanan when it comes to a shinui netotzah. What would Rav Moshe say according to Rashi? So you don't know, it doesn't address the question. Might be that we find that even though usually things done with the shinui are derabanan, sometimes they're mutter, especially if the shinui is quite significant. Might be Rashi l'shitaso, like we saw in Bora, Davayin Dalet Amud Aleph, Rashi kept on stressing that the reason why when it's mutter is because ein derech haborin, it's not the normal way of doing it. In other words, sometimes when a melach is done in a unusual way, and it's in a significantly unusual way, then Chazal were not gozer b'chi hai gafna. Fine. This brings us to approach number three in Rashi. We will see that this is the approach adopted by Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph, Simen Yud Beis, Ha'ara 7 in Rashi, but it relates to other Rishonim seem to adopt the approach more generally. And that is, maybe Rashi isn't saying that this is a shinui, like the first two approaches are suggesting, but rather Bishul has a certain definition min haTorah, and that definition includes using fire. And when fire is not involved, then it's not bishul min haTorah. This might be the view of the Yerushalmi. We'll have a chance to get back to the Yerushalmi. It's kedai very much to see the Yerushalmi inside. The Yerushalmi has an idea of only being chayiv when it's or mahalich tachtav. That might even go further. That might even sound like it has to be kli rishon al ha'esh. But you need fire. Fire is part of the definition of cooking. And we'll see the Ramban develops this idea in his Chidushim and Avodah Zarah. If you're looking for a Rishon on our, another Rishon that might say this is the Me'iri Psachim Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. And he writes, She'ein Bishul Mechayev Ela B'Toldos Ha'esh, either Eish or Toldos Ha'esh. There are some that claim that this is the view of the Rambam. Where do you see it in the Rambam? Rambam writes in Perk Tes, Halacha Vav, this is talking about cooking mateches, klal shel davar, bein sheripa guf kasha be'esh, oh, shehiksha guf rach, chayev nisha mevashel. So why does he have that word be'esh? Why is that important? So the Maharit in the Kiryas Sefer, in Shabbos, Perek Tes, writes, Bishul lo habe ela be'or v'toldosav, dachanami have besamimane ha-mishkan. So this is just another mishkan dika halacha. This approach doesn't have to be like the Maharit says. It could be actually that it relates to the general definition of bishul. Maybe it applies the chol tar kula, not just Shabbos. That brings us back to that Yerushalmi. For example, what would be by Bas B'chalav? Are you chai mishum Bas B'chalav? So it could be Bas B'chalav doesn't need bishul at all. That's famous machlokas rishonim. Are you chai Bas B'chalav deraisef ratzli or the like? One way or the other, though, the way the Mabit takes this approach is that this is a application of dumya demishkan. Even if you said that's the pshat in the Rambam, maybe that's only by food. Anyway, we'll leave that aside for, not only by metal, we'll leave that aside for now. So as I mentioned, this approach is the way Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach reads Rashi as well, even though it's a little dochak in Rashi. He writes, Av shakasav Rashi b'shabbos lam tez m'ralef, ahadim v'ashim b'chamah l'kuli al m'shari, duhum mipnei shein derech b'shal b'kach, kol makom nere shegam b'ofen, shekein regilim l'vashal b'chamah, kemodut shemesh, b'kadom agam kein pater. So here he's disagreeing with Rav Moshe explicitly, but not because he reads it like they tell. This is by definition not bishul. The bishul needs fire or heat by the fire. Whether it's dumi d'mishkan or again, maybe even more broadly, yesh la'ayin. Now, there is, this relates to, well, let's say this. One kasha l'chora on the approach of Rav Moshe, who says that basically it only depends on what's normal and what's not, is in the Gemara in Lama Tesamid Aleph at the end, where we talk about Chamei Tveria. Over there, the Gemara says, according to Rav Yosef, there's a raya that told us Chama is Aser because of that whole complicated story over there, the Silom that they're mamshech into the Chamei Tveria. According to Rabbanon, Chamei Tveria are an example of Toldos Chama. Why? Because I suppose the sun heats up the water when it goes under the earth, right? How do the, what's the source of the hot springs? So if you assume that the sun is under the earth at night, so it's going to heat the water, and that's why it's hot. So therefore Chamei Tveria Toldos Chama. And nevertheless, they aser it. So it's a kashan Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef's answer is, no, I disagree that actually Chamei Tveria is told us or. And that's because there's the Chalfi, a pischa de Gehenim, I guess there's lava in the middle of the earth. That's like fire. So the Gemara here is a shaila. What's it in my Chamei Tveria? Rabbanon say it's told us chama. And Rav Yosef says it's told us or. Now, if you're going to learn like Rav Moshe, so this is very hard to understand because is it normal or not? If it's the derech to cook with chamit feria, so you're chayim imanav shach. And if it's not the derech, you're pater imanav shach. And assuming that it is the derech bekach, and that's why Rabbi Yossi says you're chayiv, like told us, or, so why are you pater? I suppose Rav Moshe would answer that when we say ein derech bekach, it, first of all, sometimes they were gozer, especially if it's more doma to deraisa. So maybe they were not gozer on chama, but they were gozer on things that were michlof b'deraisa. Maybe it's a low plug. Maybe it's, so you have to say something like that. I don't think it's a pirch on Rav Moshe. But I would certainly say that the simple reading of, in other words, what I mean by low plug is they said anything that's chama is mutter, anything that's told us chama is mutter. But they gave certain categories, right? Just because I do something in an unusual way doesn't automatically mean that it's pater if it's a category of that which is normal. So I don't think it's a pircha, but I do certainly think that the that Chakvatarya reads a lot more simple if you don't learn like Rav Moshe. Agav, so what's the machlokas over here, whether the source of the heat of the hot springs is from the sun or from the fires of Gehenim? So it could just say it's a machlokas in the Metzias, you know, like the Shaila and the Gemara and Psachim over there. Frey Willig suggested that the pshat is, everybody knew, or could say, that the source of the hot springs is indeed the fire that's at the center of the earth. So what's their debate? They're asking, they're debating whether we treat it like chama, because it's a natural fire. That's the view of the chachamim. So it's like the sun. Not the pshat like we said, that the sun is heating it, but rather, since it's not fire created by humans, but rather a natural fire like the sun, so therefore it's going to have the din of chama, toldos chama. And from Yossi, no, the pshat is that any fire on the earth is begader eish. It's only the sun is not on earth. That's why it's different. But if it's on earth, then it's chayef. Anyway, another raya, so that gemara might be somewhat of a raya to Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Another raya that Rosh Hashanah Zalman brings is that the chilek is between fire and not fire, is legabe carbon pesach, or matzah, or maror, or challah. In other words, we have a lot of places where, I'll get to you in 1 second, Moshe, just finish this point. There are a lot of places where we make distinctions between chama and eish and the like. Ugabe chala, for example. We say that if you made bread in the sun, it's pater from chala. So why would it be tolui in darko bakach? Again, according to Shlomo Zalman, it makes perfect sense. But going to Moshe, it seems to be very schwer. So Rav Willig said, maybe we could be docha over there. The pshat is that it's a din in lechem. And likewise, linyan matzah, we could say it's a din, you need lechemoni. So it's cooked in the sun. It's not good enough. And that which we say by korban pesach, tzlo b'chama your pater, again, because the Torah says you need tzli eish. And therefore, in each case, we have to look. It could be that even Rav Moshe would agree in certain cases you need fire, like to have a shem lechem or have a shem tzli'esh or the like. But in Hilchos Shabbos, there would be no such requirement. In Mimela, you could be chayiv if it's darko b'kach, even though there's no fire at all, like the example of the microwave. Yes, Moshe.
I thought that Rav Moshe attempted to deal with this question and to say that since, in general, nobody uses Bishul Bahama, so therefore the fact that they did in the Chamei Tveria doesn't make it a normal Derech Bishul. If Chamei Tveria was in truth fire, so then the fact that they were no way to do so made it into an actual Kli of Doreisa, but if it wasn't actual fire, which
I agree. That's what I meant, that we look at the categories. In other words, once it's a category of fire, even if it's not the most normal way of doing things, you'll still be chayev. Now, so what's a lemaisa nafkamina for that comes out of this debate? So one is Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, based off of the Shita, advised hospitals, which are have to heat food for cholim, to use a microwave on Shabbos when possible, because if you could, that would be Nisr Drabanan, and you should be Memayit Bemelacha. He also suggests in Mincha Shlomo, an interesting point. There's a great conversation. Take a look at the Tshuva Mincha Shlomo, footnote 6. So he writes there that let's say you have to heat water for a chola. So what should you do? You should basically electrocute the water. Okay, don't try this at home. But take a wire, you know, put two sides of the wire, use the water to close the circuit. Water conducts electricity. And that's how you'll, you know, that's how you'll heat your water on Shabbos. And he says this is much better than like a coil heater, because when you use a coil heater, so then the way it works is that the metal might actually become red hot. That might be whether that's a havara or a bishul issue. The problem is with the metal. But if you just electrocute your water, so then not there's no metal becoming hot, but yet you can cause the water to heat up. So he writes that he made this suggestion to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said, you're still chai. And it seems like the Chazon Ish, this, of course, Chazon Ish is famous for a shita that there's an issue of bona when you close a circuit. But here the Chazon Ish seemed to say something else. He said that somehow or another, we look at electricity as like a derivative of fire. So it's almost like a form of fire, even though there is no fire, there's just electricity. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said back to him, he writes this conversation. It's really interesting. He says, well, like you have to be a Rishon to say something like that. And the Chazon Ish said back to him, this is so obvious. You don't have to be the Rashba to say something like that. So Ayin Shem, interesting conversation. So Bekitzer, again, what have we seen? We've seen that what's it in by Bishul Chama? We know Lamaisa, the Gemara says it's Mutter. And why is that? So we saw the Igletel, it's a Shino and a Totza. We saw Rav Moshe because it's an unusual way of doing things. And we saw Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says it's because there's no fire. So as I said before, one of the practical applications of this would be the Dud Shemesh. For those of you who don't know what that is, if you remember from your days in Israel, on the top of every building, house, apartment building, and the like in Israel, more or less, they have a solar heating panel. And the way it works, again, more or less, I'm going to somewhat oversimplify, is you'll see that there is a tank for the water. Next to the tank, there's this black panel. And it doesn't work like the solar panels you see here sometimes in Chutz La'aretz that just collect solar energy and and create electricity that way. It works differently. There are actually these little tubes of water that go back and forth, very small tubes. And they get heated by the sun. And also, though, not just the sun, that wouldn't have been good enough, but they get heated also by the black reflective panel behind it attracts the sun, which causes the tubes of water to become much hotter. Ayin Shem, I sort of oversimplified it, but I think that's the basic idea, Mashinogeya in Yanenu. And so it stays hot just because it's in the sun. It's a much more primitive idea than the solar panels that generate electricity. This just, it's a sun that keeps it hot, that heats it and keeps it hot. And it does get to be above Yatzel Edispo. And most of the hot water in Israel is generated this way. People also, nowadays especially, they didn't used to, but nowadays they also have an electric heater so that if you're not getting enough water from your Dud Shemesh, you flip a switch, and then it will heat the water directly using, again, usually electricity, much like the boilers here in the United States. So the question is, can you use this on Shabbos? Obviously, we're talking about a case where you're only using the Dud Shemesh, your electric boiler is off. Is that going to be mutter? And really, I think this comes down to five shilas. The first shaila is, are we talking about an Isser D'oraisa because it's Derech Bishul, or no? Are we saying that there's only at worst an Isser D'Rabbanan here because you would take the approach of the Iglei Tal or Rishon Mazal Menorah? In other words, if you say like Rav Moshe, we're dealing with a potential Isser D'oraisa. Why? Because this is certainly the normal way of heating water in Eretz Yisrael. It's darker b'kach, considerably, even though the source comes from the sun, it might be an Isser D'oraisa. Whereas, if you take the approach of the Iglei Tal or Rishon Mazal Menorah, L'chayret should be D'Rabbanan. The Iglei Tal becomes even more weird if you apply it to water. To, you know, it's one thing to say Shvach Eitzim B'Pas, it's another thing to say Shvach Eitzim B'Mayim, because we're only dealing with a change in temperature. And that actually raises a different issue, which we'll address separately, which is why you even chay for Bishul and Mayim if all you're doing is heating. So I guess the Iglei Tal's view here is more questionable, though. The impression you get is that he thinks somehow or another there's always going to be a effect in the Totsah. Here, I think the science would be even more challenging to defend. But we'll say, according to Rav Moshe, we're dealing with potential D'oraisa. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, even though it's normal, there's no fire involved. So it's certainly at worst a D'Rabbanan. Im Timtza Lomar, let's say there's no Isser D'oraisa. Let's say accept the approach of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. We still have a second question. Maybe it's also D'Rabbanan because of Toldos Chama. What do I mean to say? I told you before that there's this black panel that absorbs the heat that's behind these tubes of water, these glass tubes of water. So the heat doesn't just come from the sun, it also comes from the black panel. And that would seem to be Toldos Chama. So therefore, this might be also Midrabanan as well. Why then is there tzad to be Mako? So there's two tzadim to say it's still mutter. One possibility, this we'll call question number three, is an idea of the Marshal, Shuva Simon Samach Aleph. And he says, you know what? You're allowed to cook on a hot sun from on a hot roof, I'm sorry, that's heated by the sun. Right? Let's say you have a black roof, it's very hot, and you want to crack an egg on your roof, it's mutter. What are you talking about? Isn't that classical Toldos Chama, which is Asma D'Rabbanan? No. Everybody sees that the source is your roof, which is heated by the sun. And therefore, it's not going to be nichlaf with toldos or. Now, there's even though generally speaking, we say toldos chama is nichlaf toldos or. That's like when you're talking about a frying pan or a sudur, something like that. That's not true when it comes to your gag. So if so, maybe this is not the actual roof, but it's connected to the roof. It's bolted down to the roof. Maybe if you learn like the Marshal, even if you said it's toldos chama, it would still be mutter. However, the Magen Avraham Sif Katan Yud, again, all of our references are to Siman Shin Yud Ches from now on, unless said otherwise. So the Ramah, the Magen Avraham quotes this Marshal, but says that it's Enu Mochrach. Now there's maybe, I hear, maybe not. La plug. Who says? The Shabur also doesn't seem to accept the Magen Avraham, Marshal. So that's not going to be great Kula. But there's another Sad to be Makel, even though the heat also comes from the black solar panel, and that is because it's heated by the sun, and it goes, the Magen Avraham, so there are a number of ways to say this. One way is to say that this would be like a psikresha b'derabanan, because this is the what happens is that the water is I skipped a step. Maybe we'll say that this is just toldos. This is not considered toldos chama, but it's chama because it's the source of heat is still the sun. And a number of the poskim say something like this. For example, if you look at the Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Zayin Simen Yotes, he writes that this is not like Toldos Chama, because you couldn't move it to another place. It would immediately stay cool. it would immediately cool down. In other words, it's coming directly from the sun. I'm not sure exactly what he means. He says that the only time it goes there on Toldos Chama, it's sort of like the Marshal, but maybe even better, is when he goes there for Toldos Chama, or goes there when that thing that was heated by the sun has its own heat, such that if you take it away from the heat, it could still cook and therefore resembles Toldos Haor. Over here, that's not true. Over here, the glass panel, it's not actually black, magnifies the power of the sun. It's sort of like, I think, using a magnifying glass to, start a fire. And therefore, it's true that the glass back and the glass pipes somehow magnify the power of the sun, but there's not an independent source of heat over here. If you take it somewhere else, it wouldn't heat it. And therefore, this is considered chama and not toldos chama. Yeah, it's true. If you didn't have this device, it wouldn't get it out. So yeah, there's no hot water except for the hot water. If you don't have an electric one, it's only what remains. In other words, take a shower at 8 o'clock p.m., not 10 p.m. I think so. Maybe why they had electric heaters, so you know, I don't know what you think. So somehow or another, he argues that that this is should be still considered chama because the heat comes through the sun, even though it's somehow magnified or amplified through the glass in the back. Yes, Moshe.
So what's when we say the bishop of chama is okay, what's the paradigm example? Right. I had a cup of water that I left in the sun. That would be osir.
That's mutter. That's chama.
But if I had left it in a metal cup, so the metal also got hot, then it would be osir.
Well, so that's similar to this question. In other words, if you put the metal cup in the sun and then you poured the water into it and that heated the water, so then that would definitely be toldos chama and would be osir midrabanan. The question, which is less clear, is a case like this, where they're working together with the sun, right? So you go ahead and you put that metal cup with the water into the sun. And you know that if it was a clear cup, the sun, the water wouldn't get above the Atzilettis, but would only reach 95 degrees. But working together with this other instrument, it gets above the Atzilettis, but at the same time, it's not just the instrument, because if you were to put cold water into the instrument won't make it the Atzilettis bow either. So that's more or less the type of question that we're talking about here. Do we look at this as chama or do we look at this as toldos chama? So the argument could be made that this is considered chama and not toldos chama, because it's not a secondary thing heated by the sun, subsequently heating the water, but it somehow amplifies the power of the sun. And that's considered chama, not toldos chama. So if that's true, so far, if that argument is correct, it's heter gamor. Now, there's another secondary issue we haven't considered yet, which is, let's say, okay, we treat it as chama, not toldos chama. So you're allowed to heat the water this way. But the problem is, what happens when you turn on your hot water tap? So the hot water that was heated by the Dud Shemesh comes out of the Dud Shemesh into your sink, and now new cold water replaces it. And what happens in the dud? The cold water touches the hot water. And now the cold water is heated by the hot water, not by the sun. Now that certainly told us chama, right? In other words, the first, the hot water heating the cold water is told us chama. And therefore it should be usur, even if the direct dud shemesh usage is chama, but when it's replaced with cold water, or the new cold water enters, then there's going to be toldos chama. So that should be a reason to make it aser. So some poskim say, okay, nu, but that's a psik resha and iser d'rabanan. Ravadia says that. Others say, no, we're machmer, at least Ashkenazim are machmer for psik resha d'rabanan. The Magen Avraham was machmer for psik resha and iser d'rabanan. Closing, it might already happen even before you close it. Not necessarily. Conceivably, that would be right, but maybe not. Because it might be happening
before Shabbos, you turn it off. You prevent any from coming in.
Correct. This problem is solved if you close the intake. Correct. Yes. So I don't know if that would work, but in theory, that could be a solution. So reason why it might not work is because you need the water pressure for the water to move forward. That's what I meant to say. That's why you have the tank on the roof, right? You need gravity. Anyway, so, so that is, others say, nah, even if you're machmir for psikresha, the rabbanon, this might not be a psikresha, because maybe because the waters merged, the toldos chama isn't necessarily going to make the new water yatzoladispo when the waters merge and it gets together. It's not a vaday. It's going to be mutter. Okay, so far we've made arguments that this should be mutter. I'll just mention some of the poskim and then we'll bring up the last argument. Like we said, question number one is L'char Tali in the Machlokas or Moshe Shlomo Zalman. The Minchas Yitzchak is concerned both about issue two, that it's toldos chama, and issue four, that the hot water is going to heat the cooled water. That's a chelak dalad, simen mem dalad. The Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Avadia are all argue that none of these issues are issues. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is machmir for a fifth reason, which we didn't consider, which is even if you think on its own this should be totally mutter, since Lamaisa you have an electric boiler as well, then we should be gozer. Because you might turn it on, or you might not even realize it's on, right? You might, for example, let's imagine that everybody's taking their showers Friday afternoon, and you start feeling that you're running out of hot water because there's not enough sun to heat the water for everybody's showers. So somebody goes ahead and they flip the switch and they turn on the boiler, right? And now somebody else turns on the water on Shabbos, assuming that the boiler is off, and it's on because everybody just took a shower. And so somebody turned on the boiler. You wouldn't know. You couldn't tell. One could very easily come to an Isser D'oraisa without realizing it. And therefore, we should be gozer. And the end of the day, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach comes out l'chumra for that reason. I think in the first edition of the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, on top he was Mako. Not the ones that you're familiar with. The ones before then, that small, skinnier, one volume. Now it's the third edition of the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa. The second edition is the one that everybody was using for a long time before the Feldheim new edition. But there's a first edition that you see, you know, that have been out of print for 40 years already. But you could get them. And I think there he was Mako. In the second edition, he was Machmir on top. And as I said, Lamaisa, Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's Asr. Now, you could argue with Rav Shlomo Zalman. You could say, as the Tzitz Eliezer says, Ein lanu chadish gzeros. Who gave you the right to make up your own gzera and say that this is Asr? If it's mutter, it's mutter. Okay, maybe Chazal would have made a gzera, but you don't have a right to make up a gzera. Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks, no, that Lamaisa, it's so easy to mess this up. The same sink, as it were, is used for Isser D'oraisa and Isser, and therefore, he's machmir. Well, I think the most postim are machmir and neshayla, though certainly we could argue that ein limchos biyad ha-mekilim. Okay. Let's at least introduce a sif dalid, and then we will stop here. Yes, Moshe.
This whole discussion that we had about the doing Bishul B'chama on Shabbos, is that only about the pe'ula, like am I doing a ma'aseh bishul, or is it also about the totza'ah that now it's considered cooked?
Well, if it's, so that's a geshmak shayla. All right, I wasn't going to get into that. The Prima Gadim asked that shayla. The Prima Gadim says like this, you know, we actually have to learn Bishul Achar Bishul Siftala to appreciate that answer. But what you're saying is like this, the geshmak shayla. Let's say I go ahead and I cook something bechama, or for that matter, in the microwave, let's say like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and now I put it onto the fire. And let's assume there's some type of further tikkun. Would you be chayv or not? And this might be the reverse question of the Machlokas Rashba Rambam about when you bring something from Machal ben Drusai to Mevushal Kol Tarko, meaning to say, if you think that Ein Bishal Char Bishal is because once you were chayv on Bishal for this object, you couldn't be chayv a second time. So in this case, you weren't chayv the first time because it was Bechama, so therefore you would be chayv the second time. If you say the Pshat in Ein Bishal Char Bishal is because there's no further significant tikkun, because let's say it's already Mevushal Kol Tarko, but if there is a significant tikkun, like you went from Achal ben Drusai to Mevushal Kol Tarko, you are chayv. So over here, we would say the same thing. If it was Mevushal Kol Tarko al Adei Achama, even if there's some tikkun, but there's no significant tikkun, then l'chari would be pater. So we'll get there when we do Bishal Achar Bishal. Obviously, there's no Maisa Shabbos discussion if you think it's mutter. And if you think it's also midrabanan, so then it would be treated in like Maisa Shabbos in Isser Drabanan, which we discussed earlier. According to the Gra, maybe there's room to be Mako. We had a Kash in that Mahalach. And but in terms of the question of whether you see this as something that's cooked now, nafkamina, could you reheat it? So that's going to depend on this shaila. And it also relates to Sif-Hei, the shaila of Bishal Achar Afiyah or Tzli Achar Bishal or those types of things. So your question relates to Tzutzugyos that we have not yet seen, but we can get back to that. The Prima Gadim has that suffix of yours. Okay. So let's, again, at least introduce Sif Dalet, and next time we'll get into the details of Sif Dalet. So the Shaila is Bishal Achar Bishal. So we'll start with Bishal Achar Bishal B'Yavesh, and then we'll talk about why a Lach might be different. So how do we know in Bishal Achar Bishal? So the answer is it's a Mishnah, Kofim Hamad Beis, Kosabab B'Chamin Me'er Shabbos, Shonas B'Chamin, Shabbos. If you put something in hot water on Erev Shabbos, presumably that means that you cooked it, so it's already cooked. So then Sharnos HaBachamin, which presumably means you could put it into a Kli Rishon Shalal Gabi Aish on Shabbos. So why is that? Kli Rishon Shalal Gabi Aish is capable of being Mevashel. If you put something wrong in Kli Rishon Shalal Gabi Aish, you're Chayev. So why are you allowed to put it if it was Bab HaChamin Lifnei Shabbos and a Kli Rishon Shalal Gabi Aish? Must be. We see from here, Ein Bishal, Achar Bishal. Now, there's a very interesting shita of the Rambam here, at least potentially interesting. Take a look at the Rambam. Perek Chav Beis Halacha Ches, he writes like this. Dover shen is bashel koidem ha-shabbis, o nishra b'chamin melifnei ha-shabbis. Afal pi shehu achshav tzonein, motor lishro so b'chamin b'shabbis. So, if it was nisbashel koidem Shabbos, that's pretty straightforward. Or it was soaked in hot water before Shabbos. So then we say, Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, Matlis Rosso B'Cham Shabbos. So what is he adding when he says, O Nishra B'Cham Melifnei Shabbos? Isn't that Nisbashal Kodem Shabbos? So the Beis Yosef, this is in Sif Dalet, you know, the second version of Dalet, the one that comes a little later after Hay in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is Medai from here. That you see, that dafil alone is bashal k'maychol ben drusai. In other words, if we read Rambam literally, what does he say? Something was cooked before Shabbos, or it was soaked in hot water before Shabbos, implying that it wasn't cooked. Because if it was cooked when it was soaked in hot water before Shabbos, then that's already included in what he said, if it's cooked before Shabbos, right? So what the Rambam is saying is, if you either cook this before Shabbos, in bishal achar bishal, or even if it wasn't cooked before Shabbos, it's not even Machal ben Drusai, but it was soaked in hot water before Shabbos, it's mutter. Ad kan the Beis Yosef. It says the Darkei Moshe, Oz Gimel, how could that be? We know the Rambam holds that the only time we say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal is if it's Mevushal Kol Tarko. In other words, if there's anyone who couldn't say this, it's the Rambam, because the Rambam is the most machmir in this respect. The Rambam is the one who says that until it's Mevushal Kol Tarko, Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal. So the Darkei Moshe leaves off with the Tzachin. The Jerisha is very bothered by this. He says, Al Karchacha, even though the Rambam said that you are Chayav if you make it Mevushal Kol Tarko from Achal Ben Drusai, it doesn't mean that. When he says Kol Tarko, in the later Rambam, where was the other one? Wherever the Rambam says you need kol tzarko, that doesn't mean kol tzarko. It means machal ben drusai. Because the Rambam doesn't really say what he's saying. Very, very dolchak in the lashon. And it doesn't even fully answer the question. If you look at it, like the Beis Yosef deal, because Beis Yosef thinks it's true, even if it didn't reach machal ben drusai. But that's what you have to say. You have to say when the Rambam says Nishra Mechamin Lefnei Shabbos Amat reached Machal Ben Drusai, and the Rambam actually holds in Bishal Chabishal even once it reaches Machal Ben Drusai, despite the fact that the Rambam says Kol Sarko. That's what the Drisha tries to say. Very difficult. So I thought maybe the answer is that the pshat is that we're talking here about a Kli Rishon Shel Lagavi Eish. So it's not going to be further cooked by putting it back. In other words, when you go ahead and you, whatever amount of bishul this got to the first time, it's not going to get any further by putting it again into a Kli Rishon Shel Lagavi Eish. Avada, if you put it into a Kli Rishon Shel Lagavi Eish, then you would be chayav if you bring it to Machal Ben Mevushal Kol Tzarko, if let's say it was only Machal Ben Drusai beforehand. But here, what does the Rambam say? In Chaf Beis Ches, he writes that Motel Ashroso B'chamin B'Shabbos. So when it comes to a Kli Rishon Shel Lagavi Eish, Nizbash Al Kodem HaShabbos or Nishrucham Kodem HaShabbos, it's reached its full potential and it's not going to get any further. And therefore, it's Motel. Whatever it got to, it's not going to get any further. And that's why it is mutter. Now, there is another radical theory that the Igle Tal argues, and there's actually some evidence for this, though I think in the end of the day, it's very hard to defend, but I'll mention it, and we'll see both Rias for this and against it. We'll get back to it later. The Igle Tal thinks that, according to Rambam, you're not chayav midoraisa for Kli Rishon Shel Lagavi Eish. Remember that Yerushalmi alluded to before, that you need Or Mahalich Tachtav? That's the Shitas of Rambam. It's only Asmid Rabbanan. And that's why here is Matir Shriya. In other words, since anyway, what does he say? He says, if it's not fully cooked, but it was soaked before Shabbos, you could soak it again on Shabbos. Why is he willing to be made go? Because anyway, it's not Bishul Deraisa, because it's Shel Lagavi Eish. All right. So that's sort of a interesting hakdama to Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Next time, Bezras Hashem, we'll talk about Bishul Achar Bishul, when it is not Mevushal Kol Tzarko, and the famous Machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashba. So that's what we'll start off Bezras Hashem on Friday, 9:15. I want to ask, I'll take your question, Saint Yoni. I was asked by the office to ask everyone who's able to register to register. Yes, Yoni.
Just according to the Igle Tal, that there has to be some sort of change in the Tosafot. Why is Tulda Sahor Chayiv?
There's Shvach Eitzim, Bepas, even for Tulda Sahor. Azay?
Okay.
Since we don't understand his science, it's not hard to defend it that way.
Question?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Moshe.
This is just a side point. There is a midrash that the maybe when the Jews left Egypt, so they cooked the matzah. Not I'm talking about the first seder in Egypt, but the next day they cooked the matzah in the sun. Talking about the fact that matzah baked in the sun wouldn't be considered baked or wouldn't be considered matzah. So yes. How does that stem?
That's why that wasn't the matzah that they ate on the seder.
Wait a second, but when it says matzos yeochel shivas yamim or whatever, so
that was the matzah they ate at the seder. That was the matzah that baked after they left.
So that wasn't really matzah then, technically speaking.
That might be. That's correct.
I mean, wow.
That's.
But it says matzos shano aklim al shuma. So
yes. Anachinami, that wouldn't work with this. You have to look into it. I remember actually seeing that question addressed. It comes up in Brachos when we talked about that Shaila. of bread baked in the sun.
Yeah. Second question. I read that they have solar ovens where they have magnifying glasses to concentrate the heat. So you can actually, I don't know how hot it gets, but you can do cooking in it. It's designed for that purpose. Right. According to Rav Moshe, would that be usher?
Well, I don't know how popular those are, but if they got popular enough, then yeah, might even be Nisa Deraisa. That would be the same thing, basically, as the Dutch Amishayla.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. Shkayach.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is the Wednesday share normally 1 o'clock now? I didn't.
No, just it won't be next week. It's going to go back to the usual time.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't realize it was starting at 1 o'clock. So
next week, back to normal timing.
Okay.
Okay. Zagazunt.
Thank you very much for the share.